By the end of the morning, Kate had discharged herself from hospital. There were some initial difficulties involved in this, because first the ward sister and then the doctor in charge of Kate's case were adamant that she was in no fit state to leave. She had only just emerged from a minor coma, and she needed care, she needed... pizza, insisted Kate. Rest, she needed my own home and fresh air. The air in here is horrible. It smells like a vacuum cleaner's armpit. Further medication, and should definitely remain under observation for another day or so, until they were satisfied that she had made a full recovery. At least, they were fairly adamant. During the course of the morning, Kate demanded and got a telephone, and started trying to order pizza to be delivered to her ward. She phoned around all of the least cooperative pizza restaurants she knew in London, harangued them, then made some noisily unsuccessful attempts to muster a motorbike, to roam around the West End, and try and pick up for her an American hot with a list of additional peppers and mushrooms and cheeses, which the controller of the courier service refused even to attempt to remember. And after an hour or so of this sort of behaviour, the objections to Kate discharging herself from the hospital gradually fell away like petals from an autumn rose. And so, a little after lunchtime, she was standing on a bleak West London street, feeling weak and shaky, but in charge of herself. She had with her the empty, tattered remains of the garment bag, which she had refused to relinquish, and also a small scrap of paper in her purse, which had a single name scribbled on it. She hailed a taxi and sat in the back with her eyes closed most of the way back to her home in Primrose Hill. She climbed up the stairs and let herself into her top-floor flat. There were 10 messages on her answering machine, which she simply erased without listening to. She threw open the window in her bedroom, and for a moment or two leaned out of it at the rather dangerous and awkward angle which allowed her to see a patch of the park. It was a small corner patch, with just a couple of plane trees standing in it. The backs of some of the intervening houses framed it, or rather, just failed totally to obscure it, and made it very personal and private to Kate, in a way which a vast, sweeping vista would not have been. On one occasion, she had gone to this corner of the park, and walked around the invisible perimeter that marked off the limits of what she could see, and had come very close to feeling that this was her own domain. She had even patted the plane trees in a proprietorial sort of way, and had then sat beneath them, watching the sun going down over London, over its badly spoiled skyline and its non-delivering pizza restaurants, and had come away with a profound sense of something or other, though she wasn't quite certain what. Still, she had told herself, these days she should feel grateful for a profound sense of anything at all, however unspecific. She hauled herself in from the window, left it wide open in spite of the chill of the outside air, padded through into the small bathroom and ran the bath. It was a bath of the sprawling Edwardian type, which took up a wonderfully disproportionate amount of the space available, and encompassed most of the rest of the room with cream-painted pipes. The taps seethed. As soon as the room was sufficiently full of steam to be warm, Kate undressed, and then went and opened the large bathroom cupboard. She felt faintly embarrassed by the sheer profusion of things she had for putting in baths, but she was, for some reason, incapable of passing any chemist or herb shop without going in to be subdued by some glass-stoppered bottle of something blue or green or orange and oily that was supposed to restore the natural balance of some vague substance she didn't even know she was supposed to have in her pores. She paused, trying to choose. Something pink? Something with extra vitamin B? Vitamin B12? B13? Just the number of things with different types of vitamin B in them was an embarrassment of choice in itself. There were powders as well as oils, tubes of gel, even packets of some kind of pungent-smelling seed that was meant to be good for some obscure part of you in some arcane way. How about some of the green crystals? One day, she had told herself in the past, she would not even bother trying to choose, but would simply put a bit of everything in, when she really felt in need of it. She rather thought that today was the day, and with a sudden reviving rush of pleasure, she set about putting a drop or two of everything in the cupboard into the seething bath, until it was confused with mingling, muddying colours and verging on the glutinous to touch. She turned off the taps, went to her handbag for a moment, then returned and lowered herself into the bath, where she lay with her eyes closed, breathing slowly for fully 3 minutes, before at last turning her attention to the scrap of paper she had brought with her from the hospital. It had one word on it, and it was a word she had dragged out of an oddly reluctant young nurse who had taken her temperature that morning. Kate had questioned her about the big man whom she had encountered at the airport, whose body she had seen in a nearby side ward in the early hours of the night. "Oh, no," the nurse had said, "he wasn't dead, he was just in a sort of coma." Could she see him? Kate had asked. What was his name? She had tried to ask idly, in passing as it were, which was a difficult trick to pull off with a thermometer in her mouth, and she wasn't at all certain she had succeeded. The nurse had said that she couldn't really say, she wasn't really meant to talk about other patients. And anyway, the man wasn't there anymore. He'd been taken somewhere else. They had sent an ambulance to collect him and take him somewhere else. This had taken Kate considerably by surprise. Where had they taken him? What was the special place? But the nurse had been unwilling to say anything much more, and a second or two later had been summoned away by the sister. The only word the nurse had said was the one that Kate had then scribbled down on the piece of paper she was now looking at. The word was Woodshead. Now that she was more relaxed, she had a feeling that the name was familiar to her in some way, though she could not remember where she had heard it. The instant she remembered, she could not stay in the bath any longer, but got out and made straight for the telephone, pausing only briefly to shower all the gunk off her.